Hey, my name is Brennan Myers, and welcome to the Create You Experience, where we ignite your breakthrough, create your experience, and bring your vision to life.
I can't sit around and wait till it goes right, cause I've been hopping over obstacles my whole life. I got a vision and I know it's about to take flight. I'm dedicated to growth, I keep my mind right. I fell down, got up, I'm unbreakable. Anything in my way, I'ma break through. Lights, camera, action, take two. Can't worry about what they do, you gotta create you.
Welcome to the Create You Experience. It's your host, Brennan Myers. And today we are welcomed by a very, very special guest. And of course, before we get started with the podcast, we do have to bring in our sponsor, our official sponsor, the Create You Experience, MyCoachAI.com. Are you a coach or a trainer struggling with using WhatsApp for your group messaging, text message for one-on-one client communication, email for check-ins, workout programs on a software like Trainerize, True Coach, or even Google Sheets, Kajabi as a resource center, Google Drive to store all of your content, and running into the problem of too many systems or a lack of quality with the experience you're providing your client? Well, luckily for you, MyCoachAI.com is smarter, faster, and just simply genius. One platform that consolidates all the systems using streamlined communication and automation to simplify your coaching to provide a better experience for your clients and a place for you to start and or scale your business by working on your business rather than in your business. If this is the one-stop shop platform for you, then go to www.mycoachai.com to learn more. Now back to the podcast. All right. So we are welcomed by a very, very special, special guest, Carrie Ford, a somatic life and executive coach for women. And before I say any more about you, go ahead. Why don't you just take it away from me and say hello to the audience?
Well, I'm super happy to be here. I had the pleasure of speaking in your group and love what you're doing with My Coach AI. So for those trainers and fitness coaches out there, I didn't have that back when I was a fitness coach. I was laughing as you're doing the intro because I'm like, I was using all sorts of like hacked together piecemeal stuff for programming. So, but I'm not a fitness coach anymore. Now I'm a somatic coach because I felt like that was the missing puzzle piece for me. And I coach women, executive level women using somatic nervous system strategy. So it has some element of the holistic fitness aspect, but to me, it's kind of like on crack.
So what is what is somatic?
Yeah, it's the mind-body connection. Soma means body in Greek. And so using the mind-body connection and our nervous system to help guide us. So if it sounds weird, it's probably just a new term for most people. It's a way that we learn the language of the body and the nervous system. So it gives us an additional filter and additional information around self-sabotage and upper level limits and our capacity to hold even good things, you know, in our body and what fear feels like. So it's really cool because it gives you this extra edge.
So somatic. Well, all right, you know what? Let's start bringing in some twists here already. Let's just start jumping in. What type of energy do you feel with me? Honestly.
Well, let's see. When we first started, y'all, we were on. Yeah.
Hey, don't say too much now. Don't you say too much. Go ahead.
Oh, but I thought you wanted honesty.
About my energy, not about what I was doing. Go ahead. It's fine.
No. We had a good joke before this because we were on Zoom, and I think everyone will appreciate this. And the way you were pictured on Zoom, it was like completely sideways, but he wasn't saying anything. So then I thought it was me, right? Like I'm making up a story like, oh, it must be my settings. And so I'm like, is it sideways for you? And so we had a good laugh about that. But I think you're really high energy. I think you're positive. My sense about you is that you're hardworking, you're driven, you're a visionary, but that it is a struggle to slow down, to be present, to be in the moment, and to connect deeply through intimate moments.
All right. So your feeling of that, like, where does that come from? Being a coach and being someone that does lead other women, where does that come from? Like, how are you able to gather that?
Well, I have to check in with my body right? I have to ask who I'm being in this moment. Where's my nervous system, right? Am I feeling grounded? What is my breath doing? Where are my feet? And those to me are somatic clues as to where my body is, because I know how I feel in my body and what my body does as a result when I am very grounded and connected to me. So I've got to first check in there, because if I'm like overly attuned to your nervous system, right, then I might be joining in that, or I might not have an accurate read. And there's still room, obviously, for me being wrong. I could totally be wrong on that read, because this is the first time me and you are connected intimately. Like, we were on a group of what, 60 people before? And it was like a guest expert training. It was a totally different room. But that's my read in about 5 to 10 seconds. I'm tracking your nervous system, right? So I look for clues as to what your body's telling me, even when you're not speaking. What are you saying?
How long? Yeah, my energy speaks. How long have you been doing this for?
About 4 years, pretty deep. I didn't even know this existed, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think the majority know that this exists. So real quick, 4 years ago, what I'm sure you like talking about this, like what transitioned you into it?
My divorce was a wake-up call. I was married.
Oh, you were married?
Oh, yeah, for nine years.
Kiddos?
Two, yeah.
You have two kids?
Mm-hmm.
How old?
9 and 7.
9 and 7?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
39.
You're 39?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this woman looks like she's 24.
Oh,
on a bad day.
Bless.
On a bad day. Oh, my God. You're 39.
Yeah. Yep.
How does it feel up there?
You know, it's windy? A little freaky up here, because suddenly, and now I'm like, oh, I'm turning 39. But then I had this moment where I'm like, fuck, I'm turning 40. So I've made a decision that over the course of the next half year and a little more, because my birthday's July 4th, that I want to get in the best shape of my life by 40. Like, fuck age being this whole thing. So I want to be like sexy. I want to be like strong and the most energy that I've felt. I want to keep it going.
I don't want to say don't. Are you going to do OnlyFans?
You know, I totally should have done OnlyFans, but I'm getting breast explant surgery in a couple weeks. So, and actually, yes, I should. The money makers are going. Although, hey, I can still focus on like a really great ass.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You're the somatic OnlyFans coach. Oh my gosh. Okay. But all right. So 4 years ago. All right. So you were married. You have two kids.
Yeah.
4 years ago, you got into it. Why'd you get into it? You'd have been 35. At that time.
Yeah, about 35. So I just felt like I really questioned how the hell did I wake up in a life that I co-created, but I like woke up in this life that I didn't recognize, even though I had been an active participant. And that blew my mind. I was like, there's like, fuck the rules, fuck the check boxes, fuck how everybody else told me to do things. Cause here I am right now. And I feel like this light switch has been turned on and I'm just a cog in the wheel. No, this isn't my first go around of entrepreneurship. I tried a while ago, but I never hired a coach. I never did the deep dive into personal development. I didn't move through my own shit so that I could create success in a different way. And so I got really curious. Like, listen, I have nothing else to lose now. My life as I know it has fallen apart. Not falling. It fell through the floor. Gone. I mean, moved into an apartment, single mom, on my own for the first time ever. I actually never lived on my own before because I was married at 25 and with him since I was 22. And I just thought there has to be something different. I'm like, I'm way open. Like, I'm open to trying anything. And I just had this like deep hunger for healing. I knew that I would arrive in the same type of relationship that I had, you know, manifested and created before if I didn't heal some shit and get really curious around how I ended up here. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want, you know, same story, different face. So I became very open to the world of personal development. I hired a coach for the first time and I went all the fuck in because I was like, we're not going to do this whole thing again. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So that's where I found it. It was like, I just kept getting more and more of you know, the puzzle pieces. And I wasn't seeking somatic work, and yet I was. And that was like really the game changer for me.
You used to like the party, didn't you? Yeah, you liked the party.
A little.
Yeah, you raged a little bit. I know it.
I did. I went to the University of Delaware. It was a party school there.
Did you know that if you open up an LLC in Delaware, like the whole tax stuff?
I did know that.
What state are you in now?
I'm in Georgia.
You got like a little Georgia accent.
No, I'm from Jersey. Have I been here long enough that I have an accent? Oh my God.
Yeah, you have a little bit of Georgia. Virginia. Yeah. What would you rate the ribs, the barbecue ribs? Where did you say you're from?
Jersey.
Okay. Yeah, you guys don't really have ribs up there. Well, actually, yeah, you kind of do. What would you rate the ribs from 0 to 10 in Georgia?
I don't think I'm definitely a meat and potatoes woman, but I'm not. I don't really go out and eat ribs a ton. Yeah.
Well, this is unfortunate.
I know.
So then what do you, vegan burgers, what are the 0 to 10? What's
No, that's not me either. Ask me about a great glass of champagne. Ask me about like a nice steak, you know. Yeah.
You said champagne, a great glass. To be very honest.
Yeah.
I'm 31.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm a world traveler.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to brag too much, but mm-hmm. You know, been around the globe. And I didn't realize that there was like a great glass of champagne compared to the champagne that, you know, you cheers.
Oh my God. There's such a difference in champagne. Like nothing too dry. I don't want a hangover. Like I want a smooth, crisp glass, but not too sweet either. So, oh yeah, there's a thing.
Do you drink it at night? Do you like drink it after like what are you, yeah. Lunchtime? What are you thinking?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes it's a midday soiree and you want to just go out and have a great glass of champagne with a girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah. I generally start my days with a little bit of that, you know, like a little head start. All right. Getting back to you being a somatic coach, I like bringing in a little bit of fun of who we really are into these podcasts. Yeah. You feel me? And so you were, you know, you like to party a little bit, and then you found a lot of, I would say, the information that you pretty much already had in you.
Yeah.
35. I had like a lot of the information that, what are your thoughts on that specifically, already having a lot of who you want to be inside of you?
I honestly, the first word that rings between my ears is disappointment. I felt like I arrived in this place in my life where I kind of just submitted to, I guess this dream just isn't for me in really all regards. Like, I felt disappointed. I felt like I wasn't good enough. I was doing it wrong. Like, what is it that I'm not, what is it that I'm missing here? Why can't I figure this shit out? Like, I'm smart. I'm a hard worker. Like, I feel like this level of intelligence should get me somewhere. And yet I'm finding myself plugged into this marriage that's making me feel like I've got one foot in the grave. And I'm in this job that was a consulting corporate gig at the time. And I was good at it and it made great money, but it wasn't my passion. It wasn't my purpose. I just thought maybe my dreams just aren't for me. And it was just like massively disappointing. It was devastating. But after that divorce,
so did you feel like it was already in you?
Oh, it was totally in me. It was like an obsession. It's like the whisper that incessantly is on your heart that you can't ignore it. It's just, it's always there. It's always in the back of your mind until it starts to grow louder.
And so for the people who are wondering, well, how do I find that inside of me? You know, they're listening. They're like, well, if you did it at 35, for example, there's a lot of people that are listening that are 20, that are 25,
sure,
and maybe 27. And I always say get to it sooner than later. But also many people have no idea how to get to what? Hey, Brendan, where am I going? I don't even know what that is. How do I get started? What is this getting connected to myself type thing, holding myself to the highest, setting boundaries? What are all these different things? Like, what do you tell anybody that you first get started with?
This was in me from a very young age. I mean, it definitely didn't start at 35, But that's when I actually took action on it in a way that I couldn't really go back from, meaning like I had some skin in the game. Like, make the big scary investment. You want to go all in? Like, go the fuck all in. Pay somebody. That's an initiation you'll never forget. And I think everyone gets to go through that. There's some like stuff in the coaching space that's like, you know, high ticket, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. I think the smallest shift is worth thousands of dollars. But my perspective is that I will get what I paid for because I just decided to. So everyone should go through that initiation. And if you need help finding clarity, hire a coach to help you, right? They'll ask you questions you've never thought to ask yourself. And that's how you turn over the rocks, you find answers to questions you didn't know to ask, and you'll find them, and you'll find it faster because you've hired someone to help you do it.
Yeah, what's interesting is there's two sides of the coin. There is one side of the coin that is hiring a coach isn't always the cheapest thing, which is a reality. However, the other side of the coin is you can always find a way, and hiring a coach is so powerful, and it could change your life forever. It could earn you what you want to earn. It could just do the things that you want in your life. It could support you in it, especially. And let's say I guess it really comes down to priorities, right? It's like, what are you working towards? I always see so both sides of the spectrum of trying to hire a coach, trying to make the thing happen, doing, I see both sides of the coin pretty much always. What would you recommend to get started to getting more in touch with ourselves without a coach? What would you, is it?
Meditation, for me, that's been the thing. Because there's a really cool quote that I love, and whether or not you're like a God person, you can use love, but you know, prayer is talking to God and meditation is listening. That's when I learned to like shut up and sit with my shit. And like, I realized all this mind chatter and noise around everywhere I thought I needed to be and everywhere, everything I thought I had to do, it kept pulling me out of the present moment. Peace only exists in the present moment. And the minute I was able to connect to that and hold that, I could hear myself because I wasn't operating through the noise, the mindless chatter, the to-do list where everybody else needed me, like what I had to do. I didn't struggle with motivation, but a lot of it was confused with anxiety. So if I was able to sit still and really hear myself or like learn what that even meant, meditation for me was hands down like one of the hardest things to start, but one of the most valuable practices that I have now.
Yeah, I always say harmonizing the mind is one of the most powerful pieces to the journey. And the journey becomes so much more clear when we are harmonized. And harmonizing for me comes down to a few different components, and some of them are one, just giving myself space, quiet time, whatever that means, quiet time without screens, without just things that are influencing my mind or potentially that. And yeah. I'm able to do that through, for instance, walking. If I feel like getting up and going for a walk and like just leaving my area of work, I go. I don't think about it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And what are some things that you do to harmonize your mind outside of meditation?
Actually, walking is something that I do as well because I just need to shift my surroundings. Like I find myself just sitting at my desk or kind of locked into a mode. I'm like, I just got to go move my body. So walking with morning light, right, really helps the circadian rhythm and making sure you're producing natural melatonin when it gets dark later so you get better sleep as a result. Midday walks, like just to take a break, pattern interrupt, and then an evening walk, like closing out the day, kind of putting a bookend on it. So I absolutely love that you said that because I do the same thing.
So walking, how do you eat?
Pretty clean, actually. Like I've got my protein shake here, Isopure, something I've been, you know, loyal to for years. Almond milk. I don't eat gluten. I really, even though we've talked about champagne, I actually have gone through periods of time where I've given up alcohol altogether just because overall I notice I don't sleep as great. But I'm pretty mindful and it's just sort of automated now in the background, especially with my training background.
Do they call you champagne poppy?
No, they fucking should.
That's the first thing that came up for me when you said that. I was like, champagne poppy. Champagne poppy. I'm curious. You're 39.
Yeah.
What do you think? Because a lot of things go through my mind. I'm a single man. And when I think about having kids, I want kids. And dating younger.
Mm-hmm.
So curious about your thoughts on this. What do you think is too young? Or what do you think works or doesn't work?
Such a broad question. I mean, my partner is actually younger than me by a couple years. So,
How many years? How many years?
2 years. But he was never married. He's never lived with a partner prior to me. He's never had kids. So I was like, hey, want to walk over almost all the thresholds, holds all at once? You know, it's like the ultimate spiritual initiation. Like, hey, want all your kids to come up and move across the country?
That's great. I love that.
Yeah. But I mean, he and I both had a very, very deep, strong baseline of personal development. So we had kind of both arrived within this place within ourselves that was like, I feel good on my own. Like I have peace and I have clarity and all these things, but then you get in a relationship and it's pushes all your buttons of all your unhealed crap. So I think it really just depends on the level of awareness that they have, because there are some people that I've worked with that have been clients or that I'm connected to, and they are wise beyond their years because of what they embody and the work
like
that they do, like 25. So it depends. Is that that's definitely the rarity though. Like it's not the majority of people doing that kind of work, living this as a lifestyle. For me, that would be a non-negotiable for any partner at any age.
What's the lifestyle that you live?
Yeah, a very spiritually prioritized lifestyle. I have lived a life where I've been disconnected from myself, and I made a promise a long time ago that I would not go back to sleep. So that means two things
for
me.
You haven't slept in 5 years?
So going back to sleep, unconscious, I know you're playing me.
Yeah, you need to get some sleep, girl.
Yeah, so I just made a promise to myself. I wasn't going to go back and go through the motions of life anymore. And so for me, that means two things. It means making self-care and connection, like meditation, like walks, like movement, like eating well, ways that like raise my energy and vibe, making that a priority daily. And then also, it means doing things that challenge me and push me outside of my comfort zone. So I went cliff jumping in Mexico. 4 stories. And I'll tell you that I have never felt so alive. I ate bugs, you know, in Mexico.
That's weird. That's
It's fun. I mean, but those are things I never would have done before.
That's fun. Hold on. Time out. Eating bugs is fun.
Listen, I don't eat them on the reg, but like yeah. I did have fun in that. Huh? It was because it challenged me, right? It challenged me. It challenged that inner judger. That's like, what are you doing? This is weird and crazy.
I'm going to eat one right now. I'm going to find a bug right now in my office.
Don't eat. It wasn't alive. It was like at a restaurant.
I'm going to eat a live one. I don't care.
Brendan's over here looking for a cricket on the ground.
There's a spider right here.
Stop. Do not eat
a
spider.
I'll do it right now. This is so fun though. How are you going to tell me that? You're a coach. You're telling me not to eat the spider, but I'm having fun.
Yeah, that's different. I was at a restaurant. I'm not eating like live bugs out in the wild.
You were in a restaurant in Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay. I have residency in Mexico. Did you know that?
I think I did know that. Where in Mexico are
you? I'm not in Mexico.
Oh, you're not in Mexico, but you have residency there.
Yeah. Where do you think I am in the world?
Wait a minute. I think you told me this. Are you in Costa Rica?
Nope.
Where are you?
I was there though.
Okay.
Once upon a time, I was eating bugs there too.
Where are you at now?
give a guess. I like to swim with the polar bears. I'll give you a hint. I like to swim with the polar bears.
The polar bears? I mean, Alaska? I don't know.
You're pushing me up there? There's polar bears up there. Antarctica.
You're in Antarctica?
No, Antarctican polar bears. I like to swim with those. Polar bears. Where am I?
No idea.
I'm in Argentina. I live in Argentina.
Oh, Argentina. I've never
Yeah, I got robbed, actually. I got robbed in my house 3 weeks ago. Isn't that cool?
Oh no. Did they take everything?
Only my heart. No. They came in with a big knife and oh
No.
yeah, you should have seen the thing, how big the thing was. I have a yeah, I have a whole
A machete.
not a machete, thank God.
Sounded like a sword.
Yeah, this is not Mexico, okay? I don't even think they have machetes. You know, they do. But yeah, no, they took everything. I live in Argentina, no big deal. Anyways, back to somatic. Getting back to having fun.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I have a question for you. How do you deal with problems?
Problems are never fun. Challenges are never fun. Sometimes I get frustrated, but a lot of the time there is a willingness to look at them. Like I take responsibility for my own experience. And also I just ask myself, like, is this something within my control? Can I actually fix this? And if I can't, then I get to let it go. I can't be in control of everything, but I can be responsible for my reactions, my responses.
What does 39 years old mean to you? Ooh, we got some stuff coming up here. We got some stuff coming up here for
Oh, do
you.
we?
Oh, I felt that immediately. Immediately. Go
I do
ahead.
mind it. Well, there's two things that come up. I mean, one is 39 now is so different than what 39 was. You know, I have friends that talk about
You lived two times?
what's that?
You live two times, you know.
No, I mean like compared to like my mom and like I mean, you look at who is it in like Bonnie Hunt in the movie Beethoven. We've been going through this thing like watching all the 90s movies with my kids and it's so much fun like Mrs. Doubtfire, Beethoven. Bonnie Hunt in that movie looks like 45 and like she shops at Talbot's. Like,
How old was
but
she?
she was like my age or younger in the movie, but she's got this like, underturned hair and like
It's kind of cute
it
though, the
looks
little.
different.
It's kind of cute, the little, like, you know, putting it all on. Like, it's kind of cute. I like it.
But it
Oh
looks
my.
so different and matronly, like at that age. And then I look at my friends, and we're just like fuck minivans, and they're 45, 50, and they're wearing the thong bathing suit. Like it just looks 39
That is
looks
true.
different at this in this era, in this generation than it did in the past. So it's like the first thought was like, how should I feel? And I'm like, I don't really feel a certain way about it. I mean, it's a little mind fuckery because you're like, wow, like I could maybe be halfway through my life. And also life lived at this age and this generation is so different.
What is it like for you living up there?
Yeah, I mean, I rock the crop tops. I wear my Converse sneakers and
Then, yeah.
yeah, I kind of like to be a little rebellious about the age thing, if I'm being honest. My daughter joined Girl Scouts. And that, like, there was some shit coming up around that. 39, not really. The Girl Scout meeting, I was like, I don't belong at this meeting, So.
I was in the gym the other day, and I was like, I don't know, I was wearing something, and I was like, it was the first time that it hit me. Well, no, it's been hitting me a little bit. I'm just like, am I too old to be wearing something like this? Like, at what age does it become too, like, cringe to the younger generation? Like, how do they know if it's cringe? What year do they know that it is cringe on me? Because maybe it's not cringe until I'm 30, 36. Well, for me, just for me, it might be different for you. You look like I said, you're 24. So if I'm 36, that's the year, Brendan, that if you're wearing the freaking Converses and like jean shorts, that immediately they're like, that's a cringy old guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't arrived at that age yet. But for me, I still feel good wearing it. And so as long as I feel good wearing it, that's my checkpoint. I might totally be cringe to, the baby, like some of the babysitters that come over that, man, I'm like, wow, I'm like 20 years older than you. It's crazy. Or older. I mean, it's wild. Actually, we were out on a double date not too long ago. And the other woman that was there, I was like, so, what do you do for work? And talking about everything. She said, well, I just graduated college. And I sat there and I'm like, there's this this relatable ground that we could find. And she apparently told her boyfriend, like, I'm cool. And I was like, is that like cool? Like, as in like, she's cool for like an old woman, or she's, you know, she's just cool. Is it like neutral cool? Or is it like,
well, if you don't tell them, if you don't tell them your age, like people think I'm 27, 28.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 31, you know, I'll be 27 or 28 until I'm 34. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I think you're 24.
I'm
24, Carrie.
I've found the fountain.
Hey, Carrie, what is your favorite color?
Ooh. I don't know if I have a favorite
color. Let me guess. You really enjoy purple or violet.
Is it because of my light behind me?
And you have something under the more love image that's purple right in that glass cup or something. Is that a glass cup?
Oh, I think it's, you're seeing the reflection off of the light.
The energy from the back of your head. So it is. So you love it.
I really love a good, like, a pretty peach color. I love aqua blue.
I love champagne, too.
Yep. And champagne.
Me too.
Gold. It's gold. Gold. Your favorite color?
Gold?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Oh, because of my background, you're seeing?
No, that's not green.
Oh, that's green. Yeah, I got to cover that.
No, I just mean like gold is a really, I like neutrals, and most of my house was like neutral whites. And
you know what? I don't know if I love color.
Hmm. Maybe that's why I'm having trouble deciding what my, I don't really have a favorite color.
Maybe the reality is that all of our colors aren't even the same colors as other people's colors. And mm-hmm. we all see different colors, but we call it the same color.
I mean, that's kind of true, isn't it? Based off points.
I don't know. Anyways. All right. So we got a color going. So tell me about when you're coaching with, like, keep you on your toes. When you're coaching a woman that has not a lot of experience working with themselves,
yeah,
and progressing, and let's say you've already onboarded them, what's some of the questions that you ask them on your second call together?
That's a very specific question. On the second call, you know, on the second call, it really depends. Like, I think we have to back up to the first call, because I need to know, how safe do they feel in their body, at least based on what their body's telling me? Some women, the last place they feel safe is in their body, and so it's hard to connect. They might come to me and say, when you ask me that question, I don't feel anything. I don't, you know, they might, and we're not talking about memories. We're not talking about specific timelines. We're just talking about, like, what do you feel? Yeah, like, with somatic work, we experience our emotions. So where do you feel that? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, cool. We start there. So if they don't have experience, they feel disconnected from themselves, or maybe it feels unsafe to be in their body, that's usually a starting place, which is, I don't feel anything, or I don't know.
Numbness is a feeling.
And I say that to them too, right? Not feeling is still a feeling. But is it numbness? Is it just an inability? Is it avoidance? Is it an inability to not know the language of the body and what, you know, sensations feel like? So it could be numb, but maybe it's nothing.
Well, I was numb. So mm-hmm. I went through some pretty intense, well, actually, you know what? I went through the freaking, as your partner, I went through the same.
MITT?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Many, many years ago. And I was so numb, mm-hmm. so numb. I was like, you could scream at me, call me every single name in the book from every direction, all these different things. And I would just be like, mm-hmm. It just wouldn't hit me. And all I would be doing is tallying up. Like, each time you said it, I remember that. And then I would use all of that as motivation. It'd be like, hey, that's cool. Got you. Appreciate you. Wow. All right. I got you. Thank you. Got you. And then I would essentially exert all of my energy to be driven by that.
Wow.
It's...
Yeah, what a powerful realization for you. But it's a super shutdown response, right? To act like it's not affecting, or even to be numb to it. For sure, that's definitely a shutdown response. Yeah.
I'm big on intuition. I'm so big on intuition now, too. Going through that, I've always felt my intuition, but I didn't know it was my intuition. Mm. It was like, oh, what is that? Like, what is that coming up for me?
Yeah.
How did I know that it was my intuition?
People are like, is that my intuition? Like, how'd you know it was your intuition? What did that look like?
I've talked about this on stage before, actually, at an event. Well, a couple events. And I believe that there's this tree of life, and you have the seed of our being. That's who we are. And then we have our intuition. That's the closest to our seed. So those are the roots. And then above the roots, you have the roots that are essentially above the ground that go into the trunk of the tree, which that's emotion. And then you have the actual branches and the leaves, everything. That is the reality. And so where I was living was my intuition, my emotion, and my reality and my being. They were all together. So they were all like grouped up, and I couldn't decipher which was which, right? Mm-hmm. Even though the intuition and your being are the most powerful, like those are the two that you feel the most. And it's generally what I felt immediately. Like immediately what comes up for you, that's your intuition. Boom, you've lost it. But you always remember, because it's our being. It's our intuition. Mm-hmm. It's our subconscious. And so the more that I harmonized my mind and I peeled back all the layers it was the closer that I could decipher between what was emotion and the amount of time my intuition would stick. So over time, it became like a mastery thing where I'm like, oh, that's my intuition. I would recognize it. I wouldn't make a decision on it yet because I didn't have the courage in those moments. I was still playing in my emotion too much and also playing in other people's reality. And then eventually it became, this is who I am. Like nothing can change that. And then because of who I am, I know who I am. The intuition, the second I feel my intuition, I do not doubt it ever. Ever, ever, ever. I believe it in 100%. So I go with it. I don't, like, I'm in Argentina. I'm in Córdoba, Argentina. Okay. It's near Chile. And I'm like way down here. And people are like, why are you here? Why did you go down there? And I'm like, I don't know. My intuition told me to go, and my intuition is telling me to stay. Mm. And I could emotionally, I've had urges wanting to leave, go to Mexico, go back to Mexico, go to Florida, go to different places. But I'm like, I'm so in tune because of the mastery. I've sat with my intuition. It's what you're talking about, harmonizing. Well, I've gone on dates with my intuition type thing. You know, I've been in a relationship with my intuition for a long time, and now I understand my intuition so well, and I won't cheat on my intuition.
Yep, that's where we choose suffering. We try and, you know, abandon ourselves there. So that is so cool. And I agree with you that, you know, intuition is illogical. Many times, like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I am saying, I don't know why I'm being told to not do this or to pause or to slow down or why I'm told to pursue this thing. Most of those moves have resulted in some illogical results and success for me. You know, like the time we rented an island. Who rents an island?
What do you mean you rented an island?
Rented an island, and we brought a bunch of women to it for a retreat.
What island was this?
It's in the British Virgin Islands. It's called the Ariel.
Oh, wow.
Next to Richard Branson's island.
And you just trust your intuition. You were just like, this is it.
Makes no sense to, you know, and basically sign a contract for $100,000 to have nobody enrolled and only have a vision that came to me in a meditation and treat that vision as truth.
That is badass. Now that's crazy. Well, it's a good crazy, but that's crazy.
Totally. But if I only base my decisions based on what I see with my eyes right now, I would never move forward. So I have to make decisions on what is yet to be possible and treat my visions as truth, which are dreams unrealized, and they are. Because that's how connected I am to my intuition too. They don't make sense. They don't need to. I just need to say yes.
In many of our relationships, what I've found is our intuition is telling us to say goodbye.
Yeah.
But we just, emotionally, we can't do it because we're too connected to our emotion. And it's quite, to me, it's sad more than anything. That's the word that I can describe it, because the joy on the opposite side is, I've seen it so many times in my life. It's worth every bit of suffering of the moments after the end of it. I see it so often. How often do you see women struggling in relationships when they're business owners?
All the time, for many reasons. A lot of them are really locked into this sympathetic dominant state where they're just like, drive, force, go, hustle, no plan B. That'll get you a certain amount of success, and you're going to get burned the fuck out. So we have to learn how to balance the flow, the receiving, the trust, the surrender too. It's both, right? Like, when you listen to your intuition, you have to flow with it, because you're following the energy, but you don't know where you're going. There's no certainty guaranteed there. So it's got to be both. If I'm just focused on the strategy, I might be missing the richness available to me right now, right here. So it's both of those things. But the other is, they have this massive fear that they're going to outgrow their partner. Some of them do. Some of them already know that they've outgrown them, but they're still putting off the growth because of the grieving on the other side. In growth, there's always grieving, and a lot of people don't talk about that.
So do you think that, do you believe that women burn out from business sooner than men, quicker than men?
I don't know that I've worked with enough men to make a statement around that, to make something that's so bold and black and white, because I don't know comparatively. But what I do know is that women tend to hold a lot of things all at once, more so that takes up emotional real estate in their mind and body than men. So they tend to, not in all cases, also be the primary default caregiver, right? They tend to also still manage the responsibilities of the house, not always and not all of it, but that takes up mental real estate and it takes up emotional capacity. So then they're adding in that a lot of the women I work with end up being breadwinners. So then there's multiple houses, and there's, you know, and they've got multiple kids, they've got multiple cars, and they have this like lifestyle that they've got to maintain. And it's challenging. It's a challenging dynamic, because how can they move into feminine energy to receive their partner and make space for their partner, where they're kind of occupying both poles?
That's so difficult. That is so difficult as a female, I'm sure. I don't even know how difficult it is, but like being a woman, a successful woman financially, and being the caregiver, like, and also being the financial giver, and also being the stabilization, like the groundedness and the really, like, I couldn't even, there's enough that a woman takes on, you know?
Yeah. So teaching her places that she can receive, how, you know, how she can be open to creating room for her partner to be in his masculine, in his alpha, so that she can soften and can surrender and can dance between the two. But, and it's hard, because they're taking on the role of protector and provider with a lot of the, you know, the financial providing, especially if they're the breadwinner. Because like, one of their biggest fears is, if I take my foot off the gas, we might lose everything we have. It's a big risk. So learning how to do that differently, so that they're not always hustling, always grinding. And that's really where I come in. And, you know, we talk about, do you really want to burn it down? And how can we create more space? And how can we delegate more to like having support through a team? How can we create spaciousness in your relationship where you can soften into your feminine energy, and you can receive him and welcome, you know, your partner into your life a little bit more, and have them realize that you're doing all of this not to create distance and separation between you, but to actually create closeness and a life for both of you together.
I love the feminine energy of a woman. I love, like, me being a, I would say that I'm quite a masculine man. Mm-hmm. I always say that divine masculinity and divine femininity is, this is my perspective on it, of course, 80%, 20%. So it's like 80% masculine energy, 20% feminine energy, and vice versa, 80% feminine, 20%. And obviously it works. Like, there's always unique people and different people that it works really, really well, that it's different percentages and such. But I believe that the generalized, anyways, when I have that 20%, like one, it's for me, it's feeling myself. I feel everything about myself. And also when I have a woman that can be that's, I don't know if the word is safe, like the phrase is safe space, but it's a space to put down my guard is sure. One of the most beautiful and powerful things that I've not only experienced, but also witnessed with mm-hmm. many, many entrepreneurs, whether they're female or male. I've dated women who are business owners. And when they're with me, they're able to finally feel the energy, like the feminine energy that they crave deep down. But there's so many walls up for so many women in those situations because true divine masculine energy is so rare nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's so rare, is it not?
It is. And, you know, I think there's a huge calling for men's work because it's not that men don't desire to access that within themselves. So they don't know how to or where to start. And there's just a lot of women have been doing this work. It feels like the movement of the collective consciousness, if you will, and an awakening as I went through when I, you know, I didn't know this whole world existed at all. So half the shit that I do now, I never would have done in the past. And once I woke up to it, you know, it is mostly women in those spiritual development programs and in the coaching things. And, you know, it's still very dominant in females, but there are men that are seeking it and they're finding rooms and they're finding spaces. And my partner right now is actually leading a men's retreat, you know, and they're craving those circles. They are.
Well, maybe you should work with more men.
Yeah, I mean, I might. You know, one thing I hear about often is that they also want to experience the healthy feminine. What does she feel like? Even as a coach, right? And that is healing in and of itself for a man that maybe has wounding with the feminine energy. So, I mean, there's certain clients I'll take on privately that, you know, if I feel like I can support them, it's just not what I lead with in marketing.
Well, that's beautiful. Carrie, you are an incredibly powerful woman and your energy is vibrant, and I appreciate you for coming on here today and sharing so much. Being playful, but also being very, very much so a leader. So I appreciate you sharing, and I want to give you the opportunity to give your message to end this podcast. How about that? So give one final message and then give a little call to action to where they can work with you. And then I'll wrap it up. How about that?
Yeah. If there is a calling on your heart for more, trust it and then go all the fuck in. Whatever it takes. Figure out a way to sign up for the thing. Figure out a way to open yourself to meditation. I would say woo is a window of opportunity. So be open. You never know where it's going to take you. I couldn't have dreamed up some of the things that I have created in my life, and it's all because I was open to it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, Carrie, where can they find you? And if there's any women here, you work with men as well?
It's not something I lead with. Like I said, I'll take on private clients here and there. But most, like our academy is women. For example, that's a female leadership program for somatic work. So y'all can find me over at Elevate with Carrie, KERI.com.
Awesome. And your Instagram, just type in Carrie Ford.
I am Carrie Ford. Yes.
Cool. We'll put that in the description of the show notes. And Carrie, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for having fun, being playful, being serious. Me and the whole energy spectrum. We appreciate that greatly. We love spectrums.
Oh, yeah. We went there.
We went there. We talked about, you know, bugs and more bugs.
I was like, he's not like a spider on here.
I don't know if I'm in alignment with it, but it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. And I'm feeling good. So, Carrie, I appreciate you coming on here. This is the Create You Experience, where we ignite your breakthrough and bring your vision to life. And don't forget, MyCoach AI is officially here. If you want to learn more about the consolidated platform for you, your coaching needs, your membership, your course creation, all the stuff, we've created everything custom in one place for you. Go to www.mycoachai.com or simply go to our Instagram, MyCoachAI. I'm Brandon. This is Carrie. And we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
I got a vision and I know it's about to take flight. I'm dedicated to growth. I keep my mind right. I fell down, got up. I'm unbreakable. Anything in my way, I'ma break through. Lights, camera, action, take two. Can't worry about what they do. You gotta create you.